Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's find 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. We are in a series on overcoming selfishness. Hallelujah. And, you know, I can tell just in my own life there's some adjustments being made. I still need some more adjustments. How about you? But I was thinking this morning as I was in my study at home and just had been praying and was just sitting there and had been looking in the Word. And I was thinking, you know, I can tell there's some things in my own life are being adjusted. I wasn't shocked by that, by the way. I knew I needed some help, but, you know, that's the first step in getting help. Knowing you need some help. Knowing there's something wrong with you. Amen. And so we've just been talking about this. I'm probably going to preach one more time on it after this. But this morning, what I want to talk about, I've been giving each message a title. This is the third message. But this morning, I want to talk about this, thinking of others first. Amen. Thinking of others first. Now, I want you to go with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to read a couple verses, and there are several verses I may read today. We'll just see. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. Paul said, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth," or his welfare, or his best. Verse 33. "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Aren't those good verses? How many got them highlighted in your Bible? One's got them underlined. How many got them marked out? You know, those are just as much verses in the Bible as Mark 11:23. Amen. We may not hear these verses as much as Mark 11:23. You say, "I don't even know what Mark 11:23 is." Well, look it up. Amen. You know, we teach a lot about faith, but these are verses in the Bible too. How many know that? And we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? You can't just be a favorite word person. You know, where you... That's my favorite word, so I listen when I hear that, Pastor. When you go talking about this stuff about selfishness and all that, you know, I'm there, but I'm not there. Well, you need to be here. Amen? Let me tell you something. One of the things that the Apostle Paul said would happen in the days that we're living in, the last days, he warned his son in the faith, Timothy. And he told this young pastor, he said, in the last days, he said that there would be perilous times. Perilous times would come. And the Amplified Bible says, times of great stress, hard to deal with, hard to bear. Okay, they would come because. And he began to say because men would be certain things, you know. And but the first thing he said was men would be lovers of themselves. We have arrived. You know, and I think, and now hear my heart. I am not anti-social media. You may think I am because I make fun of it sometimes, but I'm not anti-social media. I believe it can be used for good. So I'm not anti-social media, amen. But I just believe it has exacerbated some problems in people's lives. And people think that it's real life. See, people think that Twitter is real life. That Facebook is real life, and InstaSlam is real life. Isn't that right? You know, I remember in the days, I say InstaSlam because, you know, I remember the days if somebody didn't like your message or didn't like you, it'd take them a week to get it to you. Now, if you'll just partake of social media, they can tell you just as soon as you get done saying it. There are people that have lost their joy because somebody didn't hit the like button. That's not real life, folks. And so one of the things that I'm after and I was going to say is when when people just begin to think just about themselves all the time, and they get on social media and all they talk about is them. I am so wonderful to me. Can't you see? I'm everything I hope for, everything I need. And you can get to where, if you don't watch it, that's out in the world, see, that spirit that's out in the world can get in the church. And now Paul didn't say to think, a lot of times I remember years ago, people thought that humility was thinking low of yourself, that you were a worm, you were no good. Well, that's not really humility. One man said this. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. See, I could think you was a worm, but I might, I could think I'm a worm, but I might think you're wormier than I am. See, what did Paul say? He said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What does that mean? What? Remember Paul said one place, what do you have that God didn't give you? And if he gave it to you, why are you bragging about it yourself? Boast in the Lord, not yourself. I remember a man of God, he's a fairly well known. I heard him say this one time. I thought it was really good. He said, I'm busy. I preach all the time. He was actually, at the time, he was teaching Bible school and then preaching, had his own ministry. And he said, I got to thinking one day. He said, I wonder how much of this is me doing this and how much of it's God. So he help me out here, hon. What did he say? He prayed about it, asking the Lord, how much of this is me? And how much of this is you? And I don't know whether he asked the Lord to lift his hand, let him see. But he said, for 3 days, grace left me. He said, for 3 days, all I could do was sit in my office and stare at the wall. He said, I couldn't even told you my name. I'd had to look and see. Couldn't preach a good sermon, couldn't do anything. How many know we don't realize how much of what we have is because of God? Amen. How many know we're just breathing his air, right? This is his air. when the Bible says in him we live and move and have our being, it's not lying. If he just withdraws his grace just a little bit, we're in trouble. And so, you can get this, and Paul said in the last days, he said men would be lovers of themselves. It's all about me. It's going to be good today. Hallelujah. You keep being sound like this, I'm going to penalize you 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, and 15 minutes. I realize that that this is sometimes territory we don't go into much, but we have to work at this. Now let me just say this. You're not going to run out of, you're not going to hear a good sermon today. If you do hear a good sermon today, that's up for debate. We'll see. But you're not going to hear a good sermon today and run out of here and everything's going to change. Because you didn't get selfish overnight. That's been ingrained in us. And when I say you, I'm including me, okay? Just so we're clear on this. You have to work at it to get it out. You have to renew your mind, like Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, where you're not thinking about you all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. So, today in society, it's all about me. Did you ever notice that that our politicians are really good at promising what they're going to do for you? And I'm just shocked that every election period, there's people that are dumb enough to believe them. Let me tell you something, in case you don't know. Those politicians didn't make this country great. You did, God did. Us obeying him and us working. They didn't do that. Right? They didn't do that. God did it. You and I, the people of the country make it great. We are quiet here. Now wait a minute here. That wasn't a slap at Donald Trump, make America great again. I'm telling you, what I'm saying to you is this. It's real quiet. Listen, everybody, get on politics. They all shut up. My God, what is he, a Republican or a Democrat? I'm a God man. How about that? And I'm going to support the person that more aligns with God. I don't. They may not be perfect. You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing people say, well, that one's not perfect. They're saying our president isn't perfect. Well, when did you find that out? Got a clue for you. None of us are. Well, I'm going to stick with somebody that's more aligned with God's side than the others that's going to kill babies. So I'm not taking a jab at Make America Great, all right? Because y'all got real quiet on me, and I thought I've just lost all my Donald Trump supporters. I didn't even think about that when I said that. Are you all right with me now? Can we preach now? I'm just talking about what made this country what it is, well, first of all, is God, absolutely. But it's not the politicians and all their promises. Everything they do costs you money. It's the people that are out there like you and me every day living our lives and working hard. That's who did it. We could get rid of all them people and we'd be better off. I feel like taking a lap. I'm telling you, listen, but today, you know, just like, you know, it's political time, and so all we're hearing is this is what I'll do for you, and this is what I'll do for you, and this is what I'll give you. You know, they never tell you who's going to pay for it. You are. I'm going to take your money and give you something. I'll just keep my money and buy it myself. Is that all right? So much for the polish on this message anyway. Now, but today in our society, it's become about me. I said this, it might have been last Sunday morning. Nobody owes you an education. Nobody owes you health care. Nobody owes you anything. Be thankful for everything you get, but don't have the attitude it's owed to me. It's not owed to you. Well, our government owes it to you. Where do you think the government gets their money? Well, those politicians, Pastor, didn't you know they work part-time jobs. That's where they get their money. And they get it from you. All right. Now, so we have to make sure that this selfishness that's in our culture doesn't get over into into the church. We believers will be different. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. Let me go and look at this. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. Come on, are you all with me now? Yeah. All right, now we're just talking about overcoming selfishness. This may not be like, you know, one of those shouting messages, but it's really the gospel when you get right down to it. You know, that's what Jesus did. You know, he gave himself for us, right? That's what it was all about, see? And you know, did you ever notice that in life, really, truly, that those, like even businesses, that they train their people to really bless their customers, that those do well. Yep. Isn't that right? You ever notice that? You know, that they train. You know, you go into some, like I've been around long enough, lived long enough now that I've seen some that were really at one time a thriving business, like a chain, and now they're just kind of dwindling. And it's really easy for you to come in from the outside and see what's going on is their service and their treatment of their customers has gone downhill. I'm thinking one place, and I won't name it. I'm not out to offend anybody or to do damage to anybody, but I'm thinking about one place I used to like to go eat, you know, and I like it, you know, because it had fried chicken. I'm a preacher. We like fried chicken. And so, you know, and I like to go there, and man, they have good chicken, you know. And so I didn't say it was good for you. I said that's good chicken. And so, you know, I'd go there and get chicken, and man, it's good food, man. I used to go there for lunch, you know. But you know what? After the guy that owned it passed on, that, you know, somebody else took it over, and then it started, the service started going downhill, and the cleanliness of the restaurant started going downhill. Now, the food still tasted the same, pretty much the same, but the service went downhill to where I don't even care to go in there much any longer. Y'all with me? See what happens. See, you get selfish where it's, I've walked in before and they look at you like, what are you doing here? I thought you were open. Sorry. See what happened? Well, it gets selfishness like, you're bugging me. You're bugging me. No, that's your bread and butter. You don't have any money if they don't come in there and eat, right? Amen. Now, Luke chapter 10, let's go there. Verse 29, got it? And he willing to justify himself. Now let me stop just a minute. Jesus had just told this man, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Luke chapter, did I tell you right? Luke 10? Luke 10. So he just told this man said, what's the greatest commandment? You know, and Jesus said, well, how do you read? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But he willing to justify himself. Verse 29, he said to Jesus, who's my neighbor? All right, who's my neighbor? Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment or his clothing, and wounded him, and departed, and left him half dead. So this guy's in bad shape, right? Yeah, he's half dead. That's bad. I mean, somebody robbed you, they take your clothes. And and everything you have, and leave you half dead. And verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Now, how many of you, he's supposed to represent God, right? A certain priest came down that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, notice that. The priest is coming, and he sees the guy in the, laying there in the road. He doesn't even go up there. He just crosses over the other side of the street. He goes, I'm keeping my distance from that. Right? All right, now we have another guy here. And likewise, a Levite. Now, how many know what a Levite is? A Levite was a guy who worked in the temple. Right? So he's a temple worker. So he's a church guy. When he came to the place, he came and looked upon him. Now, at least he did a little bit more. He came and looked at him. Ooh, he's bad. You're pretty bad, fella. Woo. Man, what happened to you? Huh. And he passed by on the other side. At least he was curious. But the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan. Now this just went all over them because they didn't like Samaritans. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and he gave it to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whatever you spend more, I'll come and I'll pay you. Which of these three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Amen. He said, he that showed mercy on him. Well, that's the right answer, right? Yeah. Now, notice what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, go thou and do likewise. What was he saying? Well, what was these other guys' problem? They were selfish. They didn't have time to mess with him. But Jesus told us to do the same thing, didn't he? Hallelujah. I was going down, it was a few weeks back. I was going down Telephone Road on the Newburgh side. You know, it's kind of a wide road, got wide shoulders, off of it. And I'm going down it, and I'm in a hurry. I was going somewhere. You know, you're always going somewhere. I was going somewhere, and so I saw this lady, and I saw her. She had pulled over to the side of the road, and she had a van, and the hood was up on the van, and steam was coming out of the radiator. I saw that. I was curious. I was on the other side of the street. I was curious. I looked and I thought, all I could think was, my first thought was, don't take the cap off. Yeah. I kept on going. And as I went by,
I noticed something inside of me scratching.
And I thought to myself, somebody will help that lady. Not realizing I am a somebody. Somebody will help that lady. I just don't have time. I began to reason. I don't have time. Besides that, you know how cars are today. You know, when I had my cars, you could work on it. But today, well, they're so sophisticated and complicated, all I could do is just look at the engine with her. And it don't take two people to look at the engine that's not running. I believe I'll just keep going. Come on. Help me out. Help me preach, somebody. I believe I'll just keep going. You know, I'll just believe I'll keep going. You know, and then I felt something inside of me, you know, that said, you know, well, you could go help her get help. Well, somebody will probably stop by. Come on, are you with me? How many of that is exactly just like this parable we just read? You know, I was curious about, I was on the other side of the street. I was curious about what was going on. I looked, I saw the, she's having problems. I saw the steam coming out of the motor. I saw all that, you know, but I kept on going by. And, you know, I just kept going, and I kept going, man. As a matter of fact, I got close to being home. And that, you know, that something inside of me, it didn't go away. It got stronger. I thought, all right, I'm going back. I had to turn around and go back to help this lady. Now, thank God she was gone the time I got there. But anyway... Well, you want me to tell the whole story, right? But here's the thing. God was just dealing with me like you are, you know, like you say, somebody will help her. Well, I am somebody. And he kept dealing with me and dealing till finally, I got to go back. Well, I learned something off that. Look, you just better just do it right away. See, she is my neighbor. I don't know who she was, but she's in trouble. She's my neighbor. Are you with me now? You know, she didn't go out there and cause this problem. It just came upon her, you know. So why not me? Come on. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? Amen. So, you know, that's just good preaching right there. I don't know. Amen. I just want to talk to you about this, about thinking of others first. See, here's me. Now my wife can tell you. Let me just say this. How many know the Bible says love seeks not its own? It doesn't seek its own. That's what we read there. Look not for every man's own wealth, but for the wealth of others, the welfare of others. See? Well, you know, I when it comes to finances, and I'm just telling you, you have to work on your own areas. Have you know that? When it comes to me, financial, I'm liberal there. I mean, I don't mind helping people. I don't mind. You know, I don't have a selfishness problem in there. My problem is time and inconvenience. Look at my wife shaking her head like she's... Now, if that lady had have called me the day before and said, "At tomorrow at 3:30, I'm going to be broke down at the side of the highway. Will you help me?" I said, "I will put it down and I will be there, lady." But when she did that without asking me, that's inconvenient. See, I'm convinced, the way you're laughing, I'm not the only one with this issue. I think a lot of you are pretty liberal with your money. You'll help with your money. And that's good. You need to do that. But what about your time? What about your effort? What about being inconvenienced? I'm a real planner. I've told you that before. God helped me to get balanced in that area where I've got, you know, just right now. It's, you know, yesterday's Saturday. I already know what I'm doing tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week. It's written down. That's me. And if somebody would dare die on one of those days, well, you just shouldn't do that. You should give me 3 or 4 days warning. I mean, that's selfishness. I said that's selfishness. I told you this message is working on me as well as it's working on anybody else. That's selfishness. That was the problem with the priest. I don't think the priest was necessarily a bad person in this story. I think he was a busy person. I think he was headed somewhere.
Amen.
You with me? I think he maybe had a sermon to preach somewhere.
Amen.
Come on. And so I don't got time for this. The Levite had a little bit more time. He took time to look at him and said, man, you bad off. But hey, got to go. But the Samaritan dropped everything he was doing, put him on his own donkey, and walked while the man rode on the donkey, and gave him and bought him, wound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and paid for him a room and left money to pay for any other expenses, and then said, when I come back through, if he spends more than that, I'll take care of it. Jesus said, that's the man, that's the neighbor. Right? All right. Now, so Jesus said to us, go thou and do likewise. Go do the same thing. Amen. Now, all right. Come on, are you with me now? It gets quiet on this one sometimes. But let's go in the Old Testament. I want you to switch directions here just a little bit. Let's go to Haggai, the book of Haggai. If you don't know where that's at, ask someone. It's right before Zechariah. Find the Old Testament, Malachi, go to back up to Zechariah, then you go to Haggai. So we have to make sure that, you know, today's society, the selfishness just permeates it. It doesn't get in us. It doesn't get into us. We don't allow ourselves to just think about ourselves. Amen. All right. Haggai chapter 1, you got it? And I'm going to read 14 verses out of this. I'm going to read basically the whole first chapter. Haggai chapter 1 says this in verse 1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, unto the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, I don't know if I got those names right, but you don't know them either. So, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, this time the time is not come, the time to build the Lord's house. Let me back up. Thus speaketh, verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, this is what the people are saying, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, just because people are saying that doesn't mean that's right. All right? That's what the people are saying. People are saying a lot of things today that aren't right. All right? So, and just because it's popular doesn't mean it's right. And just because all your friends believe it doesn't mean it's right. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, how many know the only thing that's right is the word of the Lord? All right? Is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed or your paneled houses, and this house lie waste? In other words, is it time for you to live in your nice house, and the house of God lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. In other words, there's no satisfaction in your life. I'm convinced the reason why people are so restless and so dissatisfied today is because they're selfish. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I mean, it's always our ways that's messing up. Come on. It's never God's ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. For you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that's in waste. You run every man to his own house. In other words, God's concerned about his house, right? And he expects us to be concerned about his house. Verse 10, therefore the dew over you is stayed from heaven, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men and upon cattle and upon the labor of the hands. How many believe that probably gets your attention? But you know, a lot of times things dry up in people's lives because they're selfish. There's no flow there. Go get somebody led to the Lord, one to the Lord Jesus, and see if there's any joy flows. Go think about, go do something for somebody else and see if joy flows again, see. Now, verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, notice this, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto all the people, saying, I'm with you, saith the Lord. See, the Lord's with you when you're doing what's right. And the Lord stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. I read all that because I wanted you to see that God said, the problem with you people is that you're all concerned about your stuff and you're not concerned about my stuff. Therefore, your stuff isn't blessed because I removed my blessing off of it until you think about my stuff. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this. It's getting real uncomfortable for people right now, I can tell, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to preach anyway. We should be very interested in building the Lord's house. See, the reason, you know, we were talking to a pastor just recently, and they were saying that they dealt with somebody that said, you know, where do you go to church? I don't go to church anywhere. I've got my own ministry, and I don't go to church anywhere. I got my own ministry. Well, you're about as selfish as could be. You know why? You know one of the purposes of the local church is to get selfishness out of you. Amen. It's a place to come and think about other people. Amen. Now you can get quiet with me if you want. It doesn't matter. I just read you the Bible. I'm not making this up. I just read the Word. God's concerned about His house. Are you with me now? No, you're not. No, you're not. But I'm going to tell you something. God's house, if you put it first, He'll put your house first. If you take care of His house, He'll see to it that your house is taken care of. What do you mean? We got to change our thinking. To some people, the church, the local church is secondary. If I can make it, I make it. If I can, I can't. If I can help, I help. If I can't, I can't. If I can give, I'll give. If I can, I can't. And God said, consider your ways. This is why it's not working for you. This is why all those sermons you hear aren't working for you. You got to consider your ways. God's really concerned. God's really, let me say it this way. God is really serious about the house of the Lord. Amen? Now, I'm not getting on to you. Don't look at me like that. I'm just preaching the Word to you. But I'm just simply saying, see, one of the reasons why God, one reason why that we have church, you know, like the guy, this young guy, or old guy, he could have been old guy, I don't know, she didn't say how old he was, but just dumb as he was, I thought he might not have grown up yet, but, you know, I don't need to go to the local church, I got my own ministry and all. Well, listen, God's not going to promote that. Why? Because what you want God to do is promote your ministry. He wants you to get into local church, get in His house, and flow out of that. And so one of the things about this scripture here that he's talking about let me say it to you this way. When we all get together, we're in the local church. How many know the Bible tells us one of the things we're supposed to do is exhort one another? What does that mean? Encourage one another. Have you ever seen somebody in church and they look like they're down? Well, you don't have to be nosy. You have to go up and say, "What's with you? What's going on with you?" No, that's a good way to get your nose broke. But you can tell. How many know you can tell? How about just a good word? How about an encouraging word? Amen? See, I think people think that it's up to the pastor to grow the church, but it's not. It's up to the people. Well, how do we do that? Well, by being an encourager, one thing. Amen. I came, and this may challenge us a little bit, but we all have to change and renew our thinking to realize our house isn't first. God's house is first. He won't promote you if you don't get this right. You got to get this right. See, you say, well, you're saying that because you're a pastor. Now, wait a minute. Here's two people that have known me since 1992. Mm-hmm. Did I preach this way before I was a pastor? Did I preach about the local church being first? Did I preach your tithe goes to the local church, not to me? That's right. Absolutely. I didn't just start this because I became a pastor. I started this because this is what the Word of God teaches. So I would tell people, I was a traveling minister. Don't give your tithe to me. Why? Because I'm not going to marry you. I'm not going to bury you. I'm not going to be there at midnight. Your pastor is. You need your local church more than you need me. I'm just here to help. Amen? I'm just coming to water what your pastor's been preaching, you know? So I always live that way. And God has blessed me. And God will bless us when we put His house first. Amen. Now, you know, you see, what can I do? What can I do? Well, you know, just your presence here means something.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to encourage you. Why don't you come a little early and find somebody to encourage? You know, I came out. I'll tell you this story. I came out one time. It's been quite some time ago. I came out one time. I came out that door, you know. Because, you know, listen, as a pastor, I can't get to everybody. You know, so that's your job. You know, that's one thing. I'm going to brag on him. I know we don't brag on Brother Kenny enough. Emily does, but we don't. But, you know, I've known Kenny for a long time. I met him, I guess, or 90s probably. One thing I've always appreciated about him is he cares about people.
Amen.
Amen. I told Phyllis, I said, I can pastor somebody for 5 years, and Kenny learned more about him 5 minutes than we're trying to get out the door. And that's not because he's being nosy. It's because he cares about him. How many know? I'm not just using him today. I'm just making a point. I don't want his head to get too big, but I'm sure that Miss Emily or Shelby can deflate it. But we all have a job of encouraging, right? In the local church. See, I can't get to everybody, you know, but you can, right? And so, what I was going to tell you is I came out before a service one. It's been quite some time ago. I came out service, and it was one of them mornings. Nobody was here. It's time to start the church. In about 3 or 4 minutes, nobody's here. And I saw this couple, new couple, sitting right about where Matt's at, right there in that row. And it looked like the place was dead. And I heard this, as soon as I saw them, I heard the voice of the Lord. And the Lord said to me, I never did tell you people this. I never corrected you over this. I never said anything about this. But I heard the Lord say to me, He said, they will never come back. Because to them, there's nothing going on. Nobody's around. It almost looked like we were having church for them. And so, I went over and talked to him and greeted him and found out. I said, well, how'd you find out about us anyway? Because they had just moved into the area. I said, how'd you find out about us? And they said, well, we found you on Brother Copeland's website, Kenneth Copeland's website. So I thought, okay, they're Word of Faith people. This is a Word of Faith church. They ought to fit here. But the Lord told me, he said, as soon as I saw him, he said, they won't come back because of that. You know what? They never came back. Now, what if some of us had been here early and had encouraged them? They might still be here. See, I'm just telling you, growth isn't all up to me. There are times people come, I don't even get to talk to them. Some of them don't make it through praise and worship. I can't help that. We're not changing just to keep you. I'm not going to tell the team, we got visitors, tone it down. I'm not going to tell everybody, we got visitors, don't speak in tongues. No, we're not hiding anything. But my point is they have to be encouraged. People have to be encouraged.
Yes.
And you're the encouragers. Yes. See, you can't just think about yourself. I go to church for myself, see what I can get out of it. And I, if I talk to somebody, fine. If I don't, it's no skin off my back. I'm going to lunch. How many know we got to realize that God has put something, he's put a mandate for us to do just what he said in Hebrews, but encourage one another daily.
Amen.
Amen. And so, you know, we ought to be able to just come to this. The house of God is a flesh burner. It'll burn selfishness out of you. Tithing, giving to the house of God, it burns selfishness out of you. Why? Because that's money you could use. But you choose to give it to God. I mean, it burns the flesh, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. You know, when your flesh is burning like that, I'm sure it's a great aroma to God in my flesh. Amen. Amen. Now, go to Romans 15. Come on now. Stay with me.
Amen.
We've been a little different today, but it's still good.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 15. So don't just think. Now listen to me, because there are people who have this attitude. And if you're a babe in the Lord, it's understandable. But how many know, one of the signs of growing up in the natural is you start quit being so selfish.
Amen.
We talked about this, what a baby's first words are no and mine, right? That's because they have selfishness in them. They were born that way, and it has to be trained. They have to be taught not to be that way. Isn't that right? You have to try. Well, spiritual babies are the same way. Sometimes they're born selfish. They're selfish when they're first in. Now, not all of them are. But some of them are, and you got to train them. But look, you know, you let them get away with that for a while. But we know when they're 40 years old and they're in the nursery sucking their thumb, it's time to grow up.
Amen.
Amen. And so you have to grow up, and so you have to be trained that, look, this church isn't all about you. Amen. You know, people will come and critique. I was preaching somewhere, we were here a while back, you know, and I could just tell as soon as I started, I was being, because there were people in the service that, you know, they didn't know me, and some of them were from denominational churches and they didn't know me. And I saw this couple, he's a pastor on the front row, a denominational pastor, and, you know, I could just tell just as soon as I started out preaching, I was being critiqued. I can tell. He didn't know what to expect, whether I was a nutcase. But I told Phil, so after I got preaching for a while, he started getting into it. He started smiling. He started nodding his head. He started getting it after he found out that, you know, I wasn't crazy. All right. He wasn't sure. You know, it's hard telling what he heard about. You know, this is one of them spirit-filled preachers, you know, full gospel. And so he didn't know what to expect. But see, people will critique you and all that. But you know, they'll check you out and all that, you know, and test it out, you know, because they just don't know. And sometimes they're babies. But, you know, listen, this isn't about you. It isn't about us. It's about God.
Amen. Right.
It isn't about what we want in church.
Right.
Well, I want a shorter sermon. Well, forget it today. Well, I just don't want you to take up an offering like you do. Put a box in the back. It isn't about us. I'm not sending out a survey to see what people want. Doc said he did that one time in his church. Dr. Barkley, he said that when I first started my church, he said, I sent out a survey to ask people certain questions. And he said, it was the dumbest thing I ever did. Yes. Is it too hot in the service? Yes. Is it too cold? Yes. He said, people, I even had on their survey, am I your pastor and is Living Word your church? He said, some people answered, yes, you're my pastor. No, Living Word's not my church. How's that work? He said, some people said, yes, Living Word's my church, but you're not my pastor. He said, that was the stupidest thing I ever did. We're not sending out a survey because it's not about us. It's about God, and it's about His people and what He said to do, which is encourage one another. Are you in Romans? I got to hurry here, but give me just a few more minutes, will you? Come on, Romans 15, go to verse 1. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak, or some translations say scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. For let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Even as Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Now, Paul's talking to the church at Rome, and he said, look, if you're strong, you ought to put up with the infirmities of the weak. Now, what is he saying? Well, in a nutshell, he's simply saying this. Remember I said that the local church is a flesh burner. It burns your flesh. It burns the flesh off of you if you do it right. What is he saying here? He's simply saying that not everybody that comes to church has it all together. Are you shocked? Or have you discovered that sometimes people come to church that need some help? Have you also learned there are sometimes people come to church that are irritants? Paul said, if you're strong, you ought to learn to put up with people. I've heard people say, well, I'd come to church there, but I just can't stand so-and-so. That shows me you're in the category of them that are weak. Them that are strong have learned to learn. There's something in the Bible called, it's a fruit called long-suffering. You know what the definition of long-suffering is? Suffering long. You ever had people that they weren't just a thorn in your side, they were a whole bush? Come on, you ever had people like that? And you just want to, what you want to do is kill them and hide them in the backyard. But I'm teasing. Today they take it serious, you say stuff like that. But help me understand that Paul just told us that there are, now that doesn't mean that there's not times we have to deal with things. Don't misunderstand me. But there's times you just got to just bear it. It's just, they'll grow out of it. Amen. I thought you'd like to see that scripture, but I'm not telling you, put it on your refrigerator. Come on, can you give me a few more minutes? I want to go to, I got two more scriptures, but I don't think I'll go to them for time's sake because we're running out of time here. But I'll tell you what, let's go to Philippians chapter 1 real quickly. Let me read this. Philippians 1. Did you get something out of this today? All right, I know we kind of punched at you a little bit and all, but, you know, hey, we need this challenging. This is the Word of God. Haggai, when Haggai said, God said, hey, don't, you're saying it's okay, time for you to build your house, but what about mine? See, sometimes we forget about the house of God. See, look, I tell you what, a lot of you that were here when we bought this building, how many were here when we bought this building? How many were here working on this building? How many know that burnt some flesh, didn't it? It did mine, because I was here, we bought it, took possession of it at the end of January, I think the last week of January, we had to be in it by the middle, maybe the second or third week of March, I don't remember now, but we had to be March 17th, so we had to be in it by March 17th, so we had from that time, which isn't long until the middle of March, to turn this building over and make it a church, you know what I'm saying? So we did a lot of work. So we were here from early in the morning till late at night. It's a flesh burner, but it's the house of God.
Come on.
What does that mean? That means if we have to sacrifice our stuff, we do it. This isn't Mark and Phyllis's house. This is the house of the Lord. And if you don't see it that way, you're seeing it wrong. See, this is the house of God. And so we put our time in. Many of you were here helping. And, you know, some of you, I know you worked during the day. You couldn't be here. I understand that. But you would come after work, you know, and be here and be here till night. Sometimes we were here till 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning till, you know, midnight at night trying to get this knocked out. Well, that's a flesh burner. Thank God it burns your flesh. It, you know, that's good for you. How many know that? It doesn't feel good, but it's good for you because it teaches you to not be selfish. Amen. Now, here in Philippians, look at this. All right, verse 21. Paul said this, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. I'll have fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I'm not sure. I can't decide. I want not, or I know not. The King James uses the word what? I know not. But for I'm in a strait betwixt two. In other words, I'm hard pressed on making a decision here, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and your joy of faith. Now, here's a man that said, I have a choice to make. Right now, I'm at a point in my ministry. I'm at a point in my life. I can go on and be with Jesus. I could leave. I could depart. I could literally go to be with Jesus. But he said, the fact that if I stay, I'll be able to help you, and you need my help, I'm going to stay. That is the epitome of unselfishness. To know that you could go be with Jesus, or you could stay and help the saints in Evansville. I'm working on that. How about you? I mean, if the Lord came to you today and said, you can come to heaven, or you can stay and you can help the people at Oasis Church, how many would stay? Not a hand. And you wonder why I'm preaching on this message. Okay. I'm going to assume I didn't see it. Let's try this again. If the Lord said you can either come to heaven or you can stay and continue to help people down here in our church because they need help, how many would stay? I'm kind of like right here on this one, you know, like I'm the pastor, my hand should be up. But how many know that's really, when you think about it, that is pretty deep stuff right there. Isn't it? But this is the place Paul had gotten in his life. He'd gotten to the place where he was just unselfish about the whole thing. Amen? All right, now, last scripture. Let's go to James. Finally, brethren, James chapter 3. We'll close right here. Thank God for the word. James chapter 3. This will be it for today. Did you get something out of this today? All right, praise God. I'm going to ask the team, go ahead and come on up if you would. Let's get a song ready before we close out today. James chapter, I think I told you 3, right? Yeah. I just want to read one verse, verse 16. The book of James here, James 3:16, James said, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Now, interesting, you know, the King James uses the word strife. The New King James uses the word self-seeking. Now, the reason why is because this word here for strife can also mean self-seeking. How many know strife comes because you're seeking your own way, right? Self-seeking. But I want you to notice he said where strife is or where self-seeking is or putting yourself first, there's confusion and every evil work. Now that should be quite obvious because I think if you just think about it for a minute, the world's problems, most of them stem from being selfish. We want our way. Why are there wars between countries? Because Most of the time, it's because somebody was selfish. Somebody wanted their way. Now, Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, you're still carnal. He says, whereas there's envying and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal? And now listen to what he said. This is really vital. He said, whereas there's envying, strife, and divisions among you, or self-seeking, or you're being selfish, he said, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? Now, isn't that interesting that he says mere men? Because what he's saying is you're walking like men that haven't been changed. In other words, what Paul's saying, even though you're born again, how many of the church at Corinth was born again? They're going to heaven, yes. But Paul said, your walk, the way you're walking in life, has been reduced to like a person that doesn't know God. You're walking like mere men. You don't have the supernatural working in your life or the power of God working in your life to help you live because the way you're living your life. You've lost that supernatural element to your walk in life. I don't want to lose that. I said, I don't want to lose that. I want to keep that all the way. Amen? Now, are you with me now? All right. Now, just think about it just for just a minute here. What does he mean? Well, he simply means that when we get selfish, when we get like that, we'll just be walking through life like normal people. Even though we're born again, we won't be having the benefits of being born again. All the supernatural help and all that. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live a selfish life. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.